This is November 18th, 2017, the year of 5778. We're going into the month of Kislev. Lesson 2 on Introduction to Service.
Okay, I want to start by page 4 of the student. Briefly touch on some information. The Barku. Right? We said it is, anybody remember? It's the call to worship. What is it, where does it come from? What does it mean? Worship of the heart is worshiping Shevalev, but Barku, I'm trying to get at what's the root for that. What is it, what's the word it come from? To bless, but the bless comes from the knee.
It has to do with bending the knee.
So often you will see someone, leadership or others in the congregation, when they say Baruch or when they say Barhu, they will bend the knee because they are bringing their entire being into what they are doing. They're not just saying the words. Remember we talked last month about this is to do it with devotion, with wholeheartedness, with intention. So you are intending to focus your mind, your body on what you are saying. So
I don't know if anyone's interested, but Baruch is an adjective form and Barhu is the second person imperative.
Okay. So Baruch is the adjective form and Barku is the second person imperative. Yeah, we will get into that a little bit later, but okay.
Well, that helps me a lot now because.
So I hope you brought your Bibles. I suggested it, please. Okay. The closest parallel in Scripture to the call to worship is in 1 Chronicles 29:20. Quickly, and anybody get 1 Chronicles 29:20? David said, I'll go ahead and read the version I have here in front of me, David said to all the congregation, now, bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and before the king. So that's from 1 Chronicles 29:20. So what we do, we talked about the Barku, we start the congregation answers. Do you remember? It's the kazan is, or the cantor is asking them, is saying, bless the Lord, who is blessed. And the congregation is answering, yes, we will bless the Lord, who is forever blessed. Okay? I'm not going to dwell on this one too long because we did the Barku last month, but all stand when hearing this call. Standing during the blessing may have originated at the time of Ezra, based on Nehemiah 9:5. In the second section of that.
Okay. Then the Levites, Jeshua, and bless the Lord your God.
Stand.
God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise.
It came from, did you hear what, I'm not sure you heard the part that said, stand and bless. See, that's why it's suggested and that we stand. And blessed be thy glorious name, who is exalted. Can I have someone get Psalm 68:20? 27 or 26 if you're looking in King James, or it's 27 in the Hebrew Scriptures, but this is another case where
Psalm 68,
verse 27 if you're in Complete Jewish Bible or Tree of Life, verse 26 if you're in the Christian Scriptures Bible. And there's questions about that, I know, but we'll talk about that later. Have you got it, Aaron?
Yeah. Bless God in bless God in the congregations. Adonai from the fountain of Israel.
That's far enough. So, What are we doing? Blessing God again, right? All right. So when a person is called to read from the Torah, the Aliyah, the Barku is also recited by that person, followed by the congregational response. But that is a slightly different tune, and I mentioned that again. I mentioned that last month. Now, for those of you who are interested, we have a little bit of an extra credit page, which I have a few copies of. It has the prayer dictionary, shows what root it comes from, and then we will go over the 8 questions, especially for those who weren't here last month. It may help fill in a few things. But okay, so prayer is what? What did we say? Intimate? How about conversation with the living God? Something is a Jewish prayer book. Remember what that is? Siddur. Yay. Some people got that one. Which is short for...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, prayers, but what? The first part is, huh?
Seder.
Seder, or Seder. Which means order. So it's order of the prayers. So that's what a Siddur is. Yeah, Avodah means service, so that's the order of the service. But this is the order of the prayers. Yes, Siddur Tefillot. Okay, the next part says, something describes prayer that is offered with devotion, which involves full engagement of all the senses.
Kavanah.
Avodah Shebelev means?
Service of the heart.
Okay, a sacrifice was a way of, two words, something to God. I know that's it, but I was trying to get drawing near. Sacrifices were offered blank times a day in the temple.
Three.
The destruction of the second temple in, what year, by the Romans.
70.
Say it louder.
70 A.D.
70 A.D. ended the sacrificial system as a form of
worship.
It was a form of worship, right. The synagogue, I mean, we talked a little bit about how, you know, all the sacrifices, but it was a form of worship. It was a form of drawing near to God. Okay, the synagogue later developed to include 3 houses in one. They are the house of, anybody remember? You can do them in English if you want.
House of prayer, house of study.
House of prayer, house of study. You have the other one? It's there.
Assembly.
The house of assembly. Okay. So, this will kind of give you a gauge of how much you really took in last month and how much you maybe, you know, did or didn't. But, all right. Now let's turn in your syllabus to page 5. And we're going to start talking about brachot. Now, once again, you will have some vocabulary. Well, your vocabulary is probably page 8. Does that look right? Well, yeah, you have one on 4, but this is vocabulary for the second session. So vocabulary for tonight is page 8. Okay. Okay. So brachot, which is plural for bracha, means blessings. Okay? So when you say a bracha, or when you start Baruch, you're blessing. Okay? Now, this gives us a way to express our thanks and gratitude for the many experiences life gives us that we're offered in our gratitude to God. It gives us a chance to express our gratitude. There are many brachot that can be said every day. In fact, over 100. I have a little book here that's called Count Your Blessings. And it's 100 prayers for a day. And obviously there could even be more. But this is, and I'll leave it here. You can pass it around, look at it a little bit. But 100 ways to count your blessings. It made me think of an old song I had learned as a child, which was in the church, that said, count your blessings, name them one by one. See what God, okay, now wait a second. See what God has done. Do you see the difference between count your blessings and trying to notice God in every activity of life, knowing who he is, blessing him for what he has done, blessing him for waking up in the morning, blessing him at night, blessing him, I mean, 100 ways to bless him every day instead of going, gimme, 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 God, I'm so thankful for what you did. And I don't think it's wrong to count your blessings and, you know, see what God has done. It's good to see what God has done. But that can't be our focus. Our focus needs to be on blessing him, not how much he gives us. So I saw really a difference in that right away because it's just a different mindset. So it's a way to see God and express our gratefulness from the time we awake until we sleep every day. It's like seeing a rainbow or lightning in the sky. You can bless God for that. You just saw a rainbow. You just saw the lightning in the sky. You just woke up this morning. Bless him. And that's to be our focus. Somebody please get the scriptures out for 1 Thessalonians 15:18. And this is Rav Shaul, or Rabbi Saul, or as we have known him in the Christian church, Paul, who wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament.
Okay, so I realize I'm the Gentile in the group.
You're not the only one, trust me.
My 1 Thessalonians only has 5 chapters.
That's right, so is mine.
Now see, I thought
5:18.
Let's look at 5:18.
5:18 is right.
Yeah, sorry. I tried to get all the typos out. Sorry. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You want to read that for me?
Go ahead. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
So, it's giving thanks in every circumstance. That is, so fix that for me, it's 5, not 15, sorry.
I'm sorry, it's English Standard Version.
Thank you. Don't be sorry, I just wanted to know what it was.
I should have told you before I started reading.
No, it's okay. They help us focus on things we experience that could be easily overlooked. They help us focus on living a life of appreciation and purpose and spiritual awareness, and provide spiritual touchstones on life's highway. They're spiritual touchstones, places we can reach back to that they can help. Most brachot begin with the same 6 words, but the end changes based on what we are thanking God for. So the first 6 words are Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. So we have just said, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. Okay? So you know how many start with that? A lot. So this original form Psalm 119, please. This original form can be traced to Tehillim. Tehillim is Psalms 119:12. And we'll read it in English.
Blessed are you, Adonai, and teach me your laws.
Okay, so that's where Baruch Atah Adonai, blessed are you, and it's Lord our God. All right. Also from 1 Chronicles 29:10, as he, David, blessed before the entire community, blessed are you, Adonai, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Now there's three types of brachot. The brachot hana'anim are blessings of, now you can fill things of, in page 5. Enjoyment. So, blessings of enjoyment. Okay. That type is said before eating or experiencing a pleasure connected with one of the five senses. Smell, touch, taste, feel, hear, right? Our five senses. So it's a blessing of enjoyment. Number two, brachot hamitzvot are blessings recited. Now, we mentioned mitzvot last time, I believe. Does anybody remember mitzvah, mitzvot, or maybe it's on this week's? I've done so many of these in a row. A mitzvah or a mitzvot, which is on your vocabulary, is a commandment or commandments. I think if that vocabulary is page 8. So the brachot ha-mitzvot are recited before the performance of a mitzvah, a commandment, also known as a good deed. So those are pronounced in that way. These blessings have an additional four words in the blessing. So it's Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, and the next part is Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav B'tzivanu, which is, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by his commandments and commanded us, and it's us, to do whatever we're doing. So that's the next part of the prayer. So if you get the first part, Baruch Atah Adonai, right, Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, so you know that's blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. And then if you're eating, you're going to bless him for the food, for the bread. If you're drinking the wine, you're going to bless him for the fruit of the vine, the Berei Peri HaGafen. So after you learn the first formulas, a lot of these prayers are going to be a lot easier for you. And you realize they're pretty much the same. Not to make them boring, because you're definitely blessing the Lord each time. Okay, so the last one, number 3, is the brachot hoda'ah, which are blessings that express thanksgiving or gratitude to God with praise and or petition in order to remind us of God's presence in our world. So these are commandments for thanksgiving. Not commandments, excuse me. These are blessings of thanksgiving. So, brachot hoda'ah are blessings which express thanksgiving. When we say a bracha, a blessing, before we eat, let's talk about saying a blessing and whether or not it can be kosher or not kosher. That was a good time to bring this up. There's a misconception that saying a bracha over food makes it kosher. Food is either kosher or not kosher based on the dietary laws of the Torah. Even the bracha said by the shochet, which is the butcher or slaughterer, said only to affirm that the slaughtering or other process is being done to fulfill a mitzvah or commandment and does not affect whether or not it's kosher. The purpose of reciting the blessing before we eat is to recognize God as the source of everything we eat. So, I know we've been under or listened to or known even congregational leaders in Messianic congregations who didn't necessarily follow what is kosher. Kosher literally means proper, right, or pleasing. If we look at Leviticus 11, and I'm not going to read the whole list, but Leviticus 11, 1 through 45 lists what is kosher, what is not kosher. So, if you want to say a blessing over a ham sandwich, I guess you could, but that doesn't make it kosher. It just means you said a blessing. But, and I just said over it, I'll bet, too. You've repeated over it. Actually, it's not a blessing over the food. It's blessing God for the food. And I have to keep turning that around in my mind because I grew up with you bless the food before you eat it. No. You bless God who gave you that food. So, you know, it's a whole tweak in our mindset. Actually, we weren't quite finished eating, but we do a blessing after eating, which is based on the Torah also. Okay. So, we're going to go to the next one, which is the Shehachianu. We say this bracha before we do something for the first time. It's said even when doing something for the first time this year or this season. Examples include eating a particular fruit for the first time this season, lighting the Hanukkah candles. Can you think of another time when the Shehachianu is said? Huh? I can't hear.
Bar mitzvah.
Bar bat mitzvah. Is there another time? The beginning of any of the Moedim. Can you think of another one?
When we finish
finish the Torah and start over, we could do it then. I'm thinking even just think of life situations when you do something for the first time.
Get married.
Okay, can we think of another one?
First baby.
Huh?
First baby.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing this child for the first time. It's doing something. You're going to bless God. Okay, so let's read it. Okay, now, how is it going to start out? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Tehekianu, Bekiamanu, Behigianu. Yeah, we should be singing it, huh? Because that's something we talked about even last month, because if you come into a service and you don't even know what's going on, but you hear the tune as you're coming in the door, you know where you are in the service. So let's sing that one again. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehechianu vehiyanu vehiyanu azman hazeh. Amen. So you get the idea. It's not just you do it at this time. It's you begin to see it in your life every day. It's blessing God in every way, every day. Okay. And see, that's kind of why we're doing this. It's like, yeah, when we go to synagogue and they start singing the Shehachianu, yeah, I've heard it before, I can sing along. No. It's I am participating myself, my whole being, with doing this. Okay, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us in life, sustained us, and brought us to this season. So as we go through different seasons in life, that's not necessarily calendar seasons or not even holiday seasons, it's our own life, our life seasons, then we can say this because we're thanking, blessing Him who has brought us to this new season.
So could children sing this before they start each new school year?
Yes. The question was, could children sing this before each new school year? Absolutely.
When you buy new clothes, yes, sometimes.
Don't. When you buy new clothes. See, that's what I was looking for. There's so many.
I want to say a blessing.
I want to say a blessing. I want to get my 100 in for today. Let's go shopping. Now, I don't quite think the barn bat mitzvahs would have come up with that one, but that's a good one. Yeah, you're getting the idea.
Okay.
Okay? Everywhere you go, everything you see that's new this season, this in your life.
A lot of times, anything you would go to a mikvah for is also an appropriate time to say the shetty on it.
Yes. A lot of the things, now, we haven't got into that, and we will a little later, of the different things, not a problem, of the different things that you go into the mikvah for. Do we know what the mikvah is? It's running water, and it is waters up here. We'll talk about it later. And when it's done as for a bar bat mitzvah, it's the actual going into the water and being what we've known in English as baptized. It's not just done once. It's done for each new process, new season, new job. Okay, so, and that's called Tevilah. I've heard it for years, it's the mikvah. But no, the mikvah is the water. So, okay? And yeah, we'll touch on that a little bit later. But yes, that would be another time we could do the Shehekiano. Okay, we're going to go on to the one before we drink wine or fruit of the vine like grape juice. The over the wine, and it's commonly referred to as Kiddush. Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. This is very familiar to many, and it is said at the beginning of Erev Shabbat, Friday night, in the home. It's said by our group when we have a little bit of the fruit of the vine, wine or grape juice, at the congregation before an oneg. So you've probably all heard that one before. And we'll go on to the next one. The next one is for the bread, and we really know that one, because it's often also said for every meal, and this is commonly referred to as motzi, because it's said before we eat bread made from the five indigenous grains of the land of Israel, which are barley, wheat, oats, rye, and spelt. And this is the second prayer that's said on Erev Shabbat for a challah bread. So this is the blessing that's said over the challah. And it's, like we said, often recited before any meal. So let's read, before we do that, let's read Matthew 26:26.
While they were eating, Yeshua took a piece of matzah, made the barukah, broke it, gave it to the Talmidim, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body."
Okay, that was complete Jewish Bible. Do we have another version?
King James.
Okay.
It's got what you're looking for, I think, in it.
Yeah, what's it say?
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body."
Okay, so you hear it, but if you don't understand the blessings behind it that would have been so familiar to Jesus, Yeshua, you don't catch it. You know, he took the bread, he blessed it.
I just point out that the it is not in the Greek original text.
Right, it is not in the word it is not in the original Greek. It just says he blessed. He took the bread and he blessed. It doesn't say blessed it. It's usually, although they kind of stopped doing that now, it used to always be in italics or in parentheses if it wasn't in the actual text. But today with the modern English translations and stuff, they stopped doing that. They just put it in there like it was there. So when it wasn't there, did you have Tree of Life, Aaron?
I did, even though right now I'm looking.
Now while they were eating, Yeshua took matzah, and after he offered the brook, he broke and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body."
Okay, I'm looking at the NASB.
Okay, you can look at NASB for us.
Just like you said. It doesn't put it in parentheses, but it said he broke, and it is italicized.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And gave it, again italicized, to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body."
Okay, so by putting it in italics, often it's read right over, and it's just as if it's there, and you don't even know that it, you don't understand that it wasn't in the original text. There's a whole other class on textual criticism, so we won't go there. I know. Some of your copies have the blessing twice in there, at the bottom of the page and at the top of the page. Sorry. Okay, so the next one we have on our pages is for various kinds of foods. We say this bracha when we are eating cakes, cookies, grains made from the five, the barley, wheat, oats, rice, spelt, like pretzels or spaghetti or noodle products, pancakes, even rice or rice bread. So there's a different one for those. I think that's what Mike was referring to. We're getting to some of those. We won't go over all of them, but this one is, are we ready? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Bore Minei Mezonot. Amen. So that is, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates various kinds of foods. Amen. So, you can bless him for breakfast, lunch, dinner, your snacky between breakfast and lunch, your nighttime snack, our gluten-free breads, yes.
Kind of a general.
It is. It is various kinds of foods. It is kind of general. It is often done as a general one, even more than the hamotzi, even though the hamotzi is more familiar. So, yeah, it is general, but it doesn't include, which we'll go to real soon here. Okay, we did various kinds of foods. We're going to do, before we eat, fruit that grows on trees. And actually, there's even a definition, which is, it's a tree is defined as that which produces fruit from year to year, and its branches have to remain intact when its fruit is removed. If the branches wither or are cut off when the fruit's harvested, or if you have to plant a new seed each year, it's not considered a tree. And the blessing for vegetables would be used instead. But there is, like I said, get the feel of there are so many ways to bless God. Now, you don't have to know each and every one of these or have them all memorized, but you do need to have that type of heart that says, I'm going to bless God for this. I'm going to bless God for this. I want to bless God. I'm blessing God all day long. And guess what happens to our cares and our worries and our problems and our issues? We're too busy blessing God to have any of those. And that's a good thing. You know, we get so wound up in everything we do. It's not all about us, and I have to remember that myself. Okay, so, over the fruit that grows on trees, Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri Haetz. Amen. So, if you're kind of new and learning vocabulary, Haetz, the word etz, trees. Yeah, so, or wood. So you've just learned, you know, by doing these, you've learned another word. Okay. Now, there's even an additional one. Like I said, we're not doing them all, but there's an additional one we'll add. That's for water, juice, meat, fish, eggs, milk, as well as grains other than the five indigenous to the land of Israel. And I don't know if I have that one in your... I don't have that one. Okay, so this one can be even like corn tortillas and cornbread. So yeah, our gluten-free breads could fit in here. It's Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Niya Bidvaro. Okay. One more. We have vegetables and fruit that grows in the ground. And this is our last one for this lesson. I know, it's like... But I think it's just, it's a way to get across the point. And it was kind of interesting as I was doing this with the bar bat mitzvah ages. They were, at first they were like, oh man. But it's like, oh wait, wait, I know what that one is. I know what the one is for that. I know what the blessing is for that. As they begin to get it, it really became part of it. So the last one is, and this is like tomatoes, cucumbers, carrots, peas, beets, spinach, celery, eggplant, potatoes, strawberries, cantaloupe, peanuts, sunflower seeds. Get the idea? Right? Our little snack. Okay. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri HaAdama. Our Adama there is the ground. Adama. Now, does that sound kind of familiar without the ah at the end? Adam. Adam is actually what's been known in English as Adam. Yes. So, guess what? Adam came from the ground. Adam. And that's his name in Scripture. Adama is the ground. Okay, we have a little bit of a prayer dictionary. Blessed, as you can see there, and what it, the root that it comes from, and is similar to the word for knee, to bless Adonai, is like kneeling before a king or a ruler. Therefore, the tradition of actually bending the knee when the word is recited in prayer. You're putting your whole being into it again, your whole body. R is actually implied as one of the verbs of being. It's actually atah is you. Adonai. This represents the four letters of God's inutterable name, the Yod, He, Vav, He, often called the Tetragrammaton, and is abbreviated. Sometimes it's a He followed by an apostrophe, or it can be a double Yod. Those are Hebrew characters. And we're going to talk about that Tetragrammaton in just a second here, but let's go on through the chart. Eloheinu, which is our God. Melech is king. He's the creator and king and absolute ruler of... Does anybody know what the last part is? Melech HaOlam. HaOlam is the universe.
You can also reference time. Has it to do with time forever also?
Yes, has to do with... That's what I was just going to say. It's as forever, unending, and everlasting. Those words are in there. In the book.
Basically, Olam Va'ed could be easily translated to infinity and beyond.
Yes, can be translated easily from infinity and beyond. Okay. Something like that. Okay. So let's talk just for a few minutes about the tradition for using the Tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton, and it comes from, somebody give me Exodus or Shemot 20, verse...
You have it printed there.
7?
Yeah, it's right underneath the
printed. You shall not use lightly.
Yeah. But I was going to look for it in a couple of different versions, please, because that really helps. Okay?
Well, I'll give it to you in the NASB.
All right.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain.
Okay, so there's different versions and it's going to sound differently. And what did it mean at the time it was written and what is it? You know, that's one of the ways I've heard it. You shall not take the Lord your God, the name of the Lord your God in vain. Right? That's probably King James or American Standard, right?
Tree of Life says in vain also.
Say it again.
Tree of Life says in vain
also. Tree of Life also says in vain. Okay. And if I remember, anybody else have Complete Jewish Bible?
Or there's the Holman. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name.
Okay. That's the Holman. It says, do not misuse the name. Okay. Does anybody else have a different one?
Well, the Complete Jewish Bible says, you are not to use lightly the name of Adonai your God, because Adonai will not leave unpunished someone who uses his name lightly.
Yeah. So that is, that the one we have in our syllabus is the Complete Jewish Bible. Now, I want to note that the root word that's translated use, you shall not use the word, take the word, it literally means to lift up, bear up, carry, or take. In order to prevent using the name of God lightly, or even as it's listed in some of the versions, in vain, or misused, the Tetragrammaton is abbreviated, and Jewish custom prohibits erasing or defacing the name of God. And that is the same reason why it's not spelled out completely. In other words, you'll see a G hyphen D, or you see an L hyphen R D. They're not taking it lightly. It is pronounced Adonai, meaning Lord. By the way, Adonai is a plural. Adoni would be literally my Lord. And it's also known as Hashem, meaning the name. So Hashem, meaning the name. The Masoretes who added the vowel markings, which by the way are not in our, or any, are not in the Torah scroll, use the vowels for Adonai under the Yod, He, Vav, He, which is what's the original in the scripture, where, and I think I do still get to that, where Moses, you know, what is your name? And it literally, it says, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, which has been translated, I am, but I am.
Most of the time.
Huh?
Most of the time it puts those vowels there. Most of the time it puts the vowels for Adonai.
Yes, most of the time it puts the vowels for Adonai. You're right there. So what is written is not the same as what's pronounced. In other words, the Yod Hey Vav Hey is pronounced Adonai, not Yod Hey Vav Hey. This is how many who do not understand what was done have incorrectly pronounced his name. The incorrect pronunciations include Jehovah, Yehovah, Yahweh, Yahweh. Similar problems have happened with Yeshua's name. For example, Yahshua instead of Yeshua. you're not quite there yet, and that's part of what this class is really for, but it's okay. It's a good reminder for all of us. You know how many times I've gone over this and over this again, because I know I taught it before, but that doesn't mean I keep it all in my memory banks all the time. We're doing all kinds of things, so it's just a good memory reminder. Okay, so Adonai, Lord, is the unique personal name of God and the name most frequently used. Torah gives the meaning in Exodus 3:14. Somebody want to look that up real quick for me? Exodus 3:14. And I'll say it right now, but that explanation is not totally clear. So Exodus 3:14.
Which Bible?
Ron's got complete Jewish, so let's let him. You got that one?
God said to Moshe, Eye Asher Eye, I am, will be what I am, will be. And added, here is what to say to the people of Israel. Eye, I am, or I will be, has sent me to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we had Tree of Life. Let's see if I can get over here. God answered Moshe, I am who I am. And then he said, you are to say to B'nai Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Okay, that's one of the names. That was Tree of Life. Because when you think about it, okay, God said, I am. I always have been, I always will be, basically. Okay, that's his name? You know, what is a name? Well, if we think back, a name is to be what we are. Actually, our name actually many times means who we are to be, especially in the scriptures when we look those up. The original pronunciation maybe could have been Yahweh, but since Jewish tradition permitted the name to be only voiced by the high priest, it became customary after the destruction of the second temple to substitute the word Adonai. The Masoretes, who vocalized the Hebrew text, therefore took the vowels from the word for Adonai and put them with the Yod, He, Vav, He, though bind the reader not to read Yahweh or Yod, He, Vav, He, but Adonai. Orthodox Jews now go even further and use the substitutional Adonai only in prayer or actual Torah reading. Otherwise, they substitute Adoshem, and in similar circumstances, Elohim, when speaking of God. They carry this respect for the sacredness of the divine name into translation as well as to written, like we talked about the G-D and the L-RD. When the combination of Adonai, the actual word Adonai, and the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh occurs, as it is in Genesis 15:2, the reading is Adonai Elohim. I want to go over your vocabulary real quick, because we were off on the other pages, so I'm not sure we got to all of it, but... So the first one there we have is bracha and brachot. Somebody tell me what that is?
Blessings.
Bless or blessings, right? Bracha is singular, brachot is plural. Keep in mind, I had oral surgery this week, and I was in the dentist here twice, so I don't know how this recording is even going to come out. Okay, the next one is brachot hamitzvot. Blessings when recited before performing a commandment or a mitzvah, which is later down in the way in the vocabulary. Brachot ha-ne'anim, Anybody remember?
Enjoyment.
Blessings of enjoyment. Like eating. Brachot hoda'ah.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, okay. Does it sound familiar with one of the songs we sing at Sukkot? Hodu la'adonai. Okay, give thanks. Okay, so hoda'ah. Brachot hoda'ah, blessings of Thanksgiving. Tetragrammaton. What is that?
Literally written for.
Huh?
Literally written for.
Oh, written for, okay. That's true.
We shall not take the name
in vain.
Huh?
We shall not take.
That's it.
We shall not take his name in vain.
We shall not take his name in vain. That's the reason that it is done. But the Tetragrammaton are the four letters of God's ineffable or unspeakable, too sacred to utter name. That's the Yod, He, Vav, He. Okay, Shehachianu.
Blessing of the first of anything.
Blessing of the first of anything. There you go. Mitzvah or mitzvot.
Joy.
Commandment is mitzvah. Commandments. Also known as good deeds. Adonai is translated as Lord and is pertaining to the Tetragrammaton. Last one is Hashem. Literally means the name.
God bless you.
Okay. 8 o'clock. Almost. So I have one more piece of paper that has to do with the talit, the prayer shawl. It's not in your syllabus. And I'm gonna go through what I wrote out a little bit here because in putting this class together, I realized that there's a number of items, quote, missing from an introduction study. These items that I've listed, and I'm just going to read over them, quite possibly others even, were not part of this original Bar Bat Mitzvah teaching because they were part of the Hebrew lesson and Jewish education portions of the Shabbat school curriculum that we were using called Club Maccabee. This material included Hebrew alphabet, two Hebrew words each week, as well as a children's siddur. The Jewish education portion went over the following topics. And if you'd like to talk about any of these further, contact me and we'll go over them in more detail apart from this teaching on Rosh Kodesh. Okay? I'm going to list them now. If you hear something you really want to talk to me about, mark it down and we'll kind of go over that. But I was like, wait, what happened to that? Wait, why don't we have that? Oh, that's right. It had already been taught in Shabbat school, so there was no reason to reteach it in the Bar Bat Mitzvah. So, what is Shabbat? Why do we keep Shabbat? How to prepare for Shabbat and set Shabbat apart? So write down if there's something you want to discuss with me, unless you want to really go through the whole thing. But okay, Shabbat, a day set apart. There's kindling the Shabbat candles, the blessings over the candles, both traditional and messianic. There's the Kiddush, which we just did speak of, and the Motzi. Then there's Havdalah. Shabbat ends with that special candle. We just did that with the scripture and blessings. It's an ancient tradition to mark the end of Shabbat no later than nightfall. There's introduction to the Torah scroll, and we actually did a show and tell with the kids, so they were up there at the Torah before they go up to actually read it. What's a parashah? You may have heard that, or parashiot, and chumash. What are those? A siddur, head covering, tallit, and tefillin. Kippah, or kippot, plural, tallit, and I did make a little appendix. I don't know if you should get another over there. And tefillin, let's see, in the Jewish home, the mezuzah, Jewish books, which we briefly went over the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, the Talmud. Jewish people are known as people of the book. The Jewish calendar, the holy days or holidays, ending with strength after each book of the Torah. In other words, yeah, it's a special phrase to end each book. Chazak, you may have heard that. And community, mishpocha, family. There was a section on kindness to animals. Ba'ar, ba'alei, hayayim. There's a midrash, I'll just briefly say, in Exodus Rabbah, there's a story of Moshe, or Moses, who tracked a lamb to a pool of water, placed it on his shoulders, and brought it back. Seeing this, God declared, "You have compassion for a lamb. Now you shall be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Mm-hmm. Does that remind you of anything else in maybe Matthew 18 or Luke 15 when Yeshua went and found the one lost sheep? An overview of the kosher laws. We talked about mitzvot, the Ten Commandments. In the temple, actually in Jerusalem, they were recited each day. The difference between the Jewish rendering and the Christian rendering of the ten words, the 613 commandments. And there are some variants in tradition as to which ones, what, but basically there's 365 negative, 248 positive, and actually many cannot be done without the temple, like the sacrifices, including for atonement, that were done daily. Ritual purity, the mikvah, the ritual bath, and tevilah, and also upon arising. There's the modei ani for men and the moda ani for women. So those are all items that are not in this class. I went back and looked through the first 3 years of, and Aaron, you were helping a little bit in the class that one year. At one time. I know.
I don't even remember what I did.
Yeah, but we had the book and we went through it. I know that.
Yeah.
And bless his heart, Bob Lettier used to come in and teach the children memorizing scriptures. And he was so great at doing that and just bless his heart. He's now up there with the Lord, so I want to bless him a little bit. So, if there's any further questions about what we went over today, if not, okay. So I have a paper that I put together that came from what we were doing about the tallit. And one of the lessons we did, and this is my tiny little example, you can pass it around, especially Jerry can, but we took, Jerry Lynn, you helped me with this lesson. We took, and they each made their own tzitzit, which would be the tassel. So this is my tiny little example of of tying the knots in the tzitzit. So, you know, we had a really good, anybody who's interested in looking over the appendix for donning the prayer before putting on the tallit, because there's one that comes right out of Psalms, and which isn't as well known. This is what we taught them. If anybody's interested in it, I know Doug was interested. Go. I had to go, you know what, I still have this. We did this a number of years ago. Mary, the tzitzit is the fringes on the garment. And when it says that the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, we know that that's likely what it would have been. So,
how many knots is there supposed to be in the sukkah?
If I recall correctly, how many knots? The total of the four corners is 613. It takes a while.
Symbolically,
yeah.
Different ways of wrapping. One of them is the numeric values of the tetragrammaton. And the other way is a phrase,
a set of prayers.
Different groups have different methods of doing it. Here, you want to feel this?
Okay. No other questions? Any other comments? Thank you. Into the month of Kislev.